Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Wednesday. I think it's going to be the best show of the week. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, great to have you in on a Wednesday. Nick Wright, Warren Moon, Rob Parker, Rick Bucher, and Joy Taylor is joining me. Quite a blowout last night with some controversy, a side of controversy as well.
Yeah. Who'd have thought there'd be so many storylines out of such a terrible game?
I know it was. So Marcus Morris of the Clippers was no accident, stepped on Luka's sprained ankle. Can't be that bad of an ankle. Guy's dropping 35 a night. You know what cracks me up about the hypocrisy of America? By the way, both political parties, both coasts, many countries. In America, we buy our children video games of people getting killed randomly. And then we're shocked at the numbing of the coarseness and the violence in America. We turn on Netflix every night, green lit by Hollywood, love their violence. And then Democrats argue, what is America's course? It's that president's fault. No, maybe it's all the violence you green light on your productions and the video games we buy for our kids. And then you can't believe why America is numb to violence. We do this in sports, too. We romanticize the Knicks and the Pistons that tackled Michael Jordan. Very low skilled. But we love romanticizing the Celtics that tackled Kurt Rambis. But you got your feelings hurt last night in Dallas because somebody stepped on Luka's ankle. You're going to watch a 30 for 30, a couple years on that, and you'd brag to your friends how great it was. I'm supposed to get worked up over this. I'm supposed to get worked up. The Pistons tackled Michael Jordan for 5 years. The Knicks had nobody that could shoot. Their only way to beat Jordan was tackling him. The Pistons had Reggie Miller and a bunch of guys who couldn't hit a free throw, and they tackled him. And they do 30 for 30s on it, and everybody watches, and everybody talks about it, and that I'm worked up over. Can you give me one player in NBA history who had his career ended because somebody, you know, kind of stepped on his hurt ankle? It's called sports. It's when Montrezl Harrell talked trash to Luka, I didn't freak out. Your naivete is not my problem. That's how players talk. But Colin, if Luka would have said, yeah, we're a little more sensitive on the white guy talking to the black guy like that because, you know, the country's history. Crazy time. Don't tell on yourself. Guys, YMCA, college pro, they talk trash. That's your problem if you don't know it. Luka wasn't bothered by it. And by the way, was Luka deeply bothered by last night? He can't be that bothered. He's averaging 33 a night. The reality is the ultimate compliment to Michael Jordan is that the Knicks and the Pacers and the Pistons couldn't stop him. So they had to try to tackle him. Do you think it's a coincidence that the two tough guys currently available for the Clippers, Montrezl Harrell and Marcus Morris. Now, Patrick Beverley's the third, but he's out. These are the two tough guys. Do you think it's a coincidence they sent the two tough guys to the same player, Luka? It's the greatest compliment in the world. This is why the Draymond Green went after LeBron, because Golden State's like, we can't stop him. We can't stop LeBron. They sent Draymond after him to knee him in the you-know-what. The greatest compliment was Lambeer had to tackle Lakers, and they had to tackle Michael. And the Clippers have two tough guys. Now, they're not going to send Kawhi Leonard after Luka. They need his points. But they send the two other guys, the toughest guys they got in the team, they send them after Luka. You think it's a coincidence it's after Luka? This is why Larry Bird got punched in the face by Dr. J, because the Sixers couldn't figure out Larry Bird. And the Celtics were now overtaking the older Sixers. Not bothered by this. I'm not bothered by trash talk. Your naivete is not my problem. It's yours. This is sport. Even in golf, intimidation wins. Intimidation is hitting the quarterback a second late. Yeah, the Clippers will get fined. All they cared about, get into Luka's head. That's all they cared about. Hey, you have baseball managers that tell pitchers, throw at him. I'll pay the fine. You know it. I know it. You know it and I know it. That's what they do. I want to get into somebody's head. Give me the list of guys in baseball who've been hit by a pitch, even in the noggin, career's over. Give me a list of NBA guys. Colin, are you saying, I'll make it real clear, intimidation wins. UFC, Tiger Woods in golf, NASCAR, bumping cars. You bump into a guy's car, you come around the next lap, and the driver's out of the car, giving the guy the... It's all about intimidation. That is the difference between the late Kobe Bryant and Rudy Gay. Kobe intimidated people. Got in your face. Talked trash. Rudy Gay, same size, super talented. Some guys don't want to go there. By the way, Luka was so distraught in unravel. Here's Luka after the game, after what was obviously a purposeful step on an ankle.
I have my own thoughts. I hope it wasn't intentional. Tell me, what do you think? I just hope it wasn't intentional, but, you know, every person's going to have their own thoughts and just move on from there.
You know, he's just a wreck there. By the way, for years, I heard TV analysts brag about Bruce Bowen. Oh, I love the way Bruce Bowen plays. That is the way you play defense. You mean when he'd slide his foot under a shooter so the shooter would land on his foot and spread? Didn't all you television analysts tell me how great Bruce Bowen was? Don't you tell me how great those Knicks teams were that couldn't shoot? Or the Pistons that had Reggie Miller and a bunch of guys that couldn't hit a free throw? Aren't we glamorizing the Celtics? Larry Bird was the really talented guy. The rest of them were kind of gritty. Aren't we glamorizing all these teams? They're gonna write books and do documentaries on the tough guys, not the nice guys. Luka's fine. It's an ultimate compliment. I didn't lose sleep, and I didn't lose any sleep on the trash talk. By the way, when Montrezl Harrell and Luka met after the trash talk, Luka was surprised that he came over. It was like, dude, it's basketball. I was 15 years old. What do you think it was like for Luka playing in Europe when he was 14 years old and scoring on 29-year-olds? Do you think all the European guys guarding him were like, oui, oui, cigarettes after the game? We make love with our socks on in Paris. It's very fine. A 14-year-old just embarrassed me in front of my wife. This is all wonderful. Luka has been a target for 8 years. European dudes who he embarrassed when he was 14 were going after him. This is why Luka's a star. This is why Luka's not going away. I said this the other day. This kid's going to end up one or two all-time scoring because they went after him and it didn't bother him. And they went after him in Europe when he was 15, and they're going after him in the NBA. It's just part of the process. MJ went through it. LeBron went through it. When they can't figure out how to stop you, they go to the next tactic, which is talk trash, intimidate, step in an ankle, little rib there. And you know what? Luka is going to drop 33 in his next game because that is what you do when you can't stop somebody. You do that. Let me shift to this. Very good day yesterday. One of the reasons I had an amazing day yesterday, we picked the Clippers to win big. We said Paul George is going to play great and they're going to crush him. But that's not why we had a great day. I had a great day because Russell Wilson apparently is going to play football into his 50s. Here it is.
I just turned 31. I'm right in the beginning of my prime. I got so many more years left. I got at least 10 plus more years left in me. And so for me, I'm just getting started. That's the fun part for me. You know, yeah. I'm just getting started. And so I want to keep going, you know, I want to keep challenging myself and, you know, continue to be better, better and better and better. And, you know, my goal is to play at least another 15 years. Whew. So that's my mission. That's my goal.
Good day for me. 15 more years of my favorite NFL player. Two things are happening in all of sports. You know, let's talk football here. Players are getting better earlier, especially quarterbacks. Camps, they got 10,000 throws by the time they're 12 years old, 365-day commitment. The quarterback no longer plays this sport, that sport, this sport, that sport. They're into football. They're into camps. They're in Elite 11. So they're getting better earlier. The second thing is they're lasting way longer. Personal trainers, personal chefs. Russell Wilson spends $1.5 million, has for years, on his body. There's no losers on this. I mean, it's great for the fans. you get your star players like Mahomes for 15 years, not 9, not 10. It's great for the league because they don't have to keep looking for the next star. They get their stars for 2 decades, not 1. It's great for general managers because if you do have to rebuild, it's always easier to rebuild with Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers. So the rebuilds don't take it. A rebuild is like, we don't have a quarterback. That rebuild, you can miss on 4 quarterbacks. It's great for everybody. It's great for the league. It's great for fans. It's great for fantasy. There's no losers. And I do think Russell Wilson, LeBron year 17, Brady year 20, 21, I think he's got a lot of their habits and traits. He's really smart. He takes care of his body. He gets the big picture. Brady's always stayed away from politics mostly. Not that he doesn't have opinions. It just wasn't good for his brand, which was very corporate. LeBron's into politics. For him, that's great for his brand in Hollywood. Russell Wilson takes care of his body. He sees it as a long-term investment. But you know what I thought when I saw this? The first thing I thought when I saw this was, oh, so he's not ending his career in Seattle. Because why did LeBron leave Cleveland? The Cavs were no longer good for his brand. Why did Brady leave New England? They couldn't get him the kind of players to elevate him as he aged. And what's happening in Seattle once again this year? Bad O-line and an insistence to run a 1988 offense. And Russell is the life preserver, saving drive after drive and game after game. Seattle has never understood. It's never been Richard Sherman's team or Marshawn Lynch's or Pete Carroll's. It's been Russell. And they'll get it, like New England or the Cavs, and it will be too late. Nick apparently is very angry with me on my Marcus Morris take. Well, Nick's soft. He's a millennial. I'm not soft. I step on ankles. If Nick Wright was trying to take my job and he walked right by here, I'd go step on his ankle. That's what I would do right now. That's how I play. We intimidate others. We go after other hosts. We step on their sore ankles. That's what we do on this show. Not a lot of nonsense. By the way, I don't want to, I'm not into being right or anything, but we kind of called that thing yesterday.
That game?
Didn't we?
I mean, come on.
We said blowout. Paul George will be great.
It's a 7-game series. The better team's going to win.
Yeah.
That's the way it's designed.
I mean, even in March Madness, you get a handful of upsets, but you always end up with your 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds. You have an occasional 7 seed make it to the Elite Eight, and you're like, oh, the upsets. Like, and that's just one game.
Luka is hurt, playing incredible, but playing hurt. So imagine how great he'd be playing if he wasn't hurt. And Kristaps is out.
You know what? I want new branding on our show. The show that steps on hurt ankles. That is
That's what you want our brand to be. I'm actually kind of okay with that.
All right. Get Nick Wright. That's his Twitter account. He'll be joining us around the corner. Let me talk about the actual game and what we saw last night and what we continually see in the NBA that's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Last few weeks, home project, do-it-yourself project. Thanks to Lowe's. Go to Lowe's.com. Made a bar cart, tray, everything. Very good. Only one cocktail last night. Game was over early. I went to bed early. So Lakers are going to wrap things up. Clippers are going to wrap things up. You know, it's funny. So the Blazers made the Lakers kind of uncomfortable for a couple days. And then yesterday, day before yesterday, Lakers knocked them out. And Orlando, the Magic, made Milwaukee uncomfortable for a couple days. And today they'll knock them out. And the Dallas Mavericks made the Clippers uncomfortable for a few days. And last night they basically knocked them out. The fans and the media always freak out when a clear underdog, we know what these teams are now. There's no big surprises. Chris Middleton's inconsistent. Dallas doesn't play defense. James Harden gets tired sometimes because he's so ball-centric, especially without Westbrook to help him out. We know what these teams are. They make people uncomfortable for a while. This is the Western Conference. It happens all the time. Golden State was uncomfortable in the first round last year. Happens all the time. The bottom line is Dallas doesn't play any defense. You're not going to beat the Clippers 4 times in 2 weeks. And the Blazers are just too small and beat up. They don't have any forwards. They're not going to beat the Lakers 4 times in 2 weeks. Now, the Jazz and Nuggets are different. Those are not title teams. They're very even. It could go either way. Rockets without Westbrook, OKC, That's very even. I'll take the Rockets eventually because I think they have a higher ceiling and the best player score in the world right now. But what you saw from the Clippers last night was when they play well, they have the highest ceiling of any team. They shot 63% from the floor. They got into Luka a little bit. The game was never really competitive. Multiple players scored. They didn't even have Patrick Beverley. Lou Williams didn't score a bunch. This is what they are. When they play great, which, okay, they overlooked Dallas, and the Lakers overlooked Portland, and Milwaukee overlooked Orlando. It happens. I love all these young stars, but who is now going to be left in the West? LeBron, AD, and Kawhi. Luka's just figuring this league out. Kawhi's been there and done that, and the playoffs are different. You know what last night was? The kids are at home. They're throwing a party. Last couple of weeks, they're having a good time. Beer pong party. Ow! Music is loud at home. Ow! Having a good time. Beer pong, your drink. And then Dad walked in. All right, kids, time to go to bed. Put the beer away. Kawhi dropped a 17-footer, then a 19-footer, then an 18-footer, made two defensive stops, then a 17-footer, then Paul George, then Lou Williams, and the game is over. The kids played beer pong and had some loud music for a couple days. Dad walked in and, Dad, now this is the way it works in the playoffs. LeBron, AD, James Harden is going to get through this. And Kawhi and Paul George and Giannis. And this is the way it works. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Nuggets weren't ready for their season to be over last night. Jokic started the game against the Jazz strong, making all eight shots he took in the first quarter, including 5 3-pointers for 21 points. But the team fell behind by 15 in the third, and then Jamal Murray took over. He scored 33 of his 42.
Wow. God, is he playing great.
Unbelievable.
God, he is such a – you know, he's a little inconsistent sometimes for me. But he's another one of these young guys like Devin Booker in the bubble. You're like, whatever it is psychologically, it's happening in the bubble. Like Jamal Murray and Devin Booker, like every night I was just getting an all-star.
Donovan Mitchell, too, at 30 last night.
Yep.
This series is really – it's just like great fundamental basketball. Like we're really kind of focusing on all the other series because, yeah, you know, they have the stars that you just mentioned that we expect to go all the way to the, you know, Western and Eastern – finals and the championship, but this is really just a great display of basketball.
Let me say something. Denver, if Michael Porter Jr. becomes what they think eventually, you're going to have Jokic, Jamal Murray, and Michael Porter Jr., three elite scorers and all-star level players, if he's as good as eventually we think. And Denver's got the right coach. They obviously draft well. Like Denver's not a city we talk a lot about at NBA. It's a football city.
Right.
It's in that time zone in the mountains. Watch out for Denver. Watch out going forward for Denver.
Both of these organizations kind of remind me of the Raptors a little bit.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of pressure on them to be championship level teams, but they develop guys. They do a great job drafting. They have great coaching.
It's a little Toronto.
That's what I'm saying. Little Raptors.
Yeah.
Like you're just kind of under the radar, but great every year. If they can get one star to take it to the next level, they're going to be a problem. So Giannis has won Defensive Player of the Year this season. He won in a landslide, receiving 75 of the 100 first place votes. Anthony Davis was a distant second with only 14. Giannis led the NBA in defensive rebounds this season and obviously helped the Bucks keep their opponents to the lowest field goal percentage in the league. He is now the fifth player to win both MVP and Defensive Player of the Year in his career.
And they have him on at 1 o'clock.
And he will likely win MVP this
year. Yeah,
this
MVP,
well.
Defensive player, number one seed, league puts him at 1 o'clock. And you're telling me he can't consider leaving? 1 o'clock. At 10 o'clock Pacific time. Literally, people just get to work. They're going to their first meeting, and the Bucks are on television.
So do you think that it is – you think it's Milwaukee?
No. I just think whatever it is, the league – don't argue with me. The league
– No. I fully agree with you. I think that you – it's not that I don't think that Giannis is a star, but there's a fine line between superstar and star.
How many times –
we don't decide who the superstars
are. No, the public does.
The public decides.
Okay,
that.
Zion, three times the league engineered the schedule. The summer – The bubble in the regular season, they engineered it for Zion. This kid's been in the league 7 years. This will be his second MVP, defensive player of the year, number one seed. Put him on at 10 Pacific. The league's telling you. It's not my opinion. So my takeaway is, once you're an MVP of this league, you got a shoe company and an agent. Either get the titles,
right,
or get the branding in the lettuce. He's got to get one of them. And
I just think he's not very polarizing. And maybe if they lose this year, he will become that. Because if whatever decision he decides to make or whatever moves are made, you know, obviously the Warriors have been in that conversation. If that happens, like, the whole world's going to fall apart. But I think what happens after this year will really be a big determining factor for his legacy in this league. Because he's an incredible player. Like, it's fantastic. At two MVPs and Defensive Player of the Year already.
And he's still young.
Very young. But that next level, that next step has to happen. Okay, this story drives me crazy. So there's no preseason games. So quarterbacks are not going to be getting hit until week one. But Joe Judge might take a different approach and have Daniel Jones face more contact before the season starts.
With quarterbacks, you want to go ahead and be calculated in how you start banging them around. I don't think we're going to throw him in any, you know, Royal Rumbles or anything like that. But, you know, at some point we'll pop his pads a little bit in a controlled environment.
Yep.
I'm not in a hurry to go ahead and just beat the hell out of him, Tom. But, you know, at some point we'll prepare his body for what he may take in the first game.
Thank you. Love it.
He's suggesting that they take the red jersey off.
Yeah, at some point it's football. You're going to get hit. I didn't wear that red jersey in high school. Come hit me. Very intimidating. Listen, these guys get hit. Can we stop babying everybody? Ooh, he stepped on Luka's ankle.
No, don't baby anybody except for that guy.
Oh, so what? So Andrew Luck used to say, I remember when he said
this. You know what Andrew Luck is right now?
Well, he had a bad ending, but he used to say, I like getting popped. Make me feel like I'm in the game.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Where is Andrew Luck right now?
He didn't say he wanted to get popped 68 times a season.
Okay, but that's my point. Listen, I'm not unaware of how football works, but let's just calm down with taking the red jersey off of the franchise quarterback in training camp.
I was up at 1:45 in the morning firing off emails. I'm in a mood today. The new Colin is about contact.
Okay, you're hands-on now?
You get moods, I get one. My new mood today. I've been fiving up since 1:40 firing off stuff. I am contact Colin.
I am against this. Look, if you want to, you know, make people run laps, okay, that's cute. You know, whatever it is you want to do in training camp, all those old school tough guy stuff, run
Love
through
it.
A wall, football cliches, fine. All right, play around. Play around with your franchise quarterback if you want to.
Yeah.
I will be right here.
Patrick Mahomes was banged up last year.
This is live. We can run this back. This is a bad idea. I'm not saying don't put a little contact on your quarterback, but taking the red jersey off of him,
a bad idea,
roughing him up a little bit is
Lamar
is
Jackson
not the way to
in
go.
The summer running into a jet ski on a beach because he wanted to play.
I didn't think that was a good idea either.
That was a bad idea.
Exactly. Protect your quarterback.
All right. Let's soften the show up and go to Nick Wright. Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Marcus Morris. An intimidating guy tried to intimidate Luka. So did Montrezl Harrell with Trash Talk. It's the ultimate compliment. It's the ultimate compliment. Nobody's career ends because you stepped on their hurt ankle. Nick Wright. Boy, this will be interesting. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Apparently, my producer's put on the board. He is furious. So,
yeah,
For the record.
And disappointed.
Well, whatever. So is my wife. So Marcus Morris literally came after you on Twitter last night because you called him what? What did you do?
Mm-hmm. I said what is obvious, that it was intentional. And you are taking where takes have never gone before, which is you are acknowledging seemingly that it was intentional, yet defending him.
Mm-hmm.
If I was prepared for you to say it was an accident, which I don't buy, but that's what Marcus is trying to sell. Unfortunately for Marcus, he can tweet whatever he wants at me in the middle of the night. But I covered him when he was at Kansas, when Bill Self had to sit him down in the midst of a Player of the Year race because he was doing nonsense like this as an amateur player. He's done nonsense like this at every stop along the way. He kneed Ben Simmons in the head last season. He boinked a guy on the head with a basketball this preseason. We know who he is, but you're saying you're fine with it because you're conflating it with trash talk or with a hard foul. This is none of the above. And Colin, you're saying no one's career has been ended by an ankle injury. Okay, maybe. But the best player on Marcus's team had his career in San Antonio inextricably changed because of an ankle injury. Kawhi in 2017 was having one of the greatest playoff runs we've ever seen. You've got Zaza put his foot underneath him. He never plays another game for the Spurs in the playoffs. And the NBA changed the rules, made that a flagrant foul. How can you defend this?
Well,
this isn't intimidation. This is going after an injured player's ankle after the play is over.
Well, by the way, Patrick Mahomes is going to face that this year where people are going to go after him a little bit high. Why? Because they can't stop him. The ultimate compliment is we can't stop Michael. We can't stop Bird. We can't stop Mahomes. This is why I've said this. In the NFL, get a quarterback, job two, protect him. Take guys nobody's heard of from Wisconsin that block for quarterbacks. And the reality is he stepped on his shoe. He'll get fined, but the trash talk, get in his head, step on his shoe, get in his head. This is what I've seen for 30 years, 40 years in the league.
Well, then I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Like, what is your line? Because another option is before game six, start Joakim Noah, yeah, who doesn't play for you, and have him punch Luka in the face.
Well, now that
maybe he'll punch back and get thrown out.
Now that
maybe
that feels,
maybe he'll just get a black eye.
Well, I mean, it's a line, and we can argue about it's fuzzy. Even when you drive on the road, the speed limit's 55. You can go 62 and not get a ticket. We move the line all the time to expedite, to intimidate, and I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am.
And that's fine. And if and maybe it makes me a soft millennial, as you put it. I think that the line should be during the course of play, hard fouls, a little extra elbows, leaning, all that stuff's totally in bounds. Marcus, the sideline camera angle of this, the Clippers make a shot. Marcus Morris, it takes a beeline to Luka to what, pick him up 94 feet? And then you try to flat tire his bad ankle. I draw the line somewhere before that. You draw the line anything short of what happened in the movie The Program, evidently. And so that's fine. Not The Program, The Last Boy Scout. That's your prerogative. I assume it's your tough upbringing in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, it was. Very rough, very tough childhood in the Pacific Northwest. So now you have to admit last night, the ceiling of the Clippers, Lord.
Very high.
I mean, Lakers was nice, but we know Kuzma is not going to do that again. When I look at the Clippers, I think, oh, I could get this five or six times in a series. With the Lakers, I know that Kuzma, KCP, Danny Green, Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee are all going to play great in the same night because they don't do that during the season. Didn't this feel like, oh, that's you could duplicate that multiple times if you're the Clippers?
Oh, listen, their ceiling has always been super high. The problem is they haven't shown a willingness to give the requisite effort consistently to reach that ceiling. And you might love the Clippers as a basketball team, but you'd hate them as an employee or a coworker, because I know enough about you to know, okay, you're a super high ceiling's great, but what do you give me day in, day out? What can I rely on from you? And the Clippers are not a reliable team. They're just flatly not. They were up 21 in the second quarter of game four, and they blew the whole thing off. They blew the game off almost. And game five, they're up 21 in the second quarter of game five, and they blew the Mavs out. So are you fully confident you're going to get that level of effort in game six? Because I'm not. Like, the Clippers are come and go, and we heard Doc say it. So I agree with you. This was their biggest game of the year. And they showed that when they all show up, how dangerous they can be. But we've had 75 games of Clippers basketball this year, and they've shown that few and far between, at least to me, compared to what you get from the Lakers, who are the actual favorites.
So I don't worry about the Rockets. I think it's a pretty even series without Westbrook, who gives a real energy late in games. I thought Harden looked a little gassed a little bit in the last game, but I think they'll win this game. But you know, I'm going to ask you the question. I know, I don't like asking questions I know the answer, but I have a feeling I know what you're going to say, but I want to ask it anyway. If Houston does not get through this series, and Harden did look tired the other night, can I make the argument that Harden is the greatest scorer in 20 years in the league? but he may not be a championship level player based on his style and based on the current length of the season, that you can be great, but not a guy that necessarily is going to win titles. Because I watch him and I think this is not going to win. This is not going to win a championship. But he's going to score 38 a game. Is that a fair criticism?
I think it's a reasonable criticism, even if I disagree with it. And here, if you can be the Vegas favorite to win the title, playing that style, you can win the title. And in 2018, up 3-2, they were the Vegas favorite. If you can be up 15 in game 7 of a conference finals against an all-time team without your second best player, playing that style, you can win a title playing that style. Now, they haven't, and so people will always be able to throw that out there. I think that's been more circumstantial, and I don't think they're going to win it this year, and he's getting older, not younger. But I think when it comes to the Rockets and when it comes to Harden, it's sometimes the old Bill James thing, which is teams have a bad habit of blaming their best players when things go wrong.
That's
and
fair.
I know in the NBA we expect the best of the best to step up, but something very interesting is going to happen, Colin. And I'm very curious to see what the media does with this, which is Damian Lillard, whose team was below 500 this year, played the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs and lost in 5. James Harden, whose team wins 50-some games every year, is going to play the Lakers in the second round of the playoffs and probably lose in 6 or 7. And it somehow this year is going to elevate Dame and denigrate Harden. Dame's going to get more credit for his team almost getting to 500, squeaking into the playoffs and getting blasted off the floor than Harden is for once again making it through the first round, once again averaging 30-plus a game, and then just not quite getting over the hump. Like, if people want to say, listen, Harden isn't LeBron, he's not KD, one could argue he's not even Kawhi, but other than that, those three guys, those are the only guys that we know, and I guess throw Steph in as well, that they can be the best player on a championship team in the entire league. And so I feel like if you're comparing Harden to anybody else, he stacks up pretty favorably.
Now, I think it's a fair argument. Stylistically, we like Dame and Steph more than Harden. Stylistically. But Harden right now is the more durable player and the better player. I think that's a very – I'm going to end it on that because that's a very good point. After – I mean, I really took you to the woodshed for a couple topics, so I like you ending on a positive note because as your mentor – you know, I don't feel like bullying you on the show.
Former ex. Ex-mentor. You told America you'd try to kneecap me if I was coming for your job.
Hey.
I thought it was coincidental I got shipped out to New York. Turns out the old Machiavellian coward was working behind the scenes.
Always. Nick Wright, good seeing you, buddy. First things first, congrats on your new teammate.
Bye.
Show looking sound great. All right, coming up next, the San Francisco 49ers. Show you how it's done. The Dallas Cowboys show you how it's not done. That is coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
New website, Noom. N-O-O-M. Free trial. Check it out. Go to Noom.com/herd. It's about health goals and habits. Tools you need to psychologically change your eating habits. It's interesting. Check that out yesterday, noom.com/herd. So one of the things I really like about sports, it's getting smarter. I like that. It's preserving players' rules, you know, the training smarter, the coaching smarter, analytics. Sports has gotten smarter. And the early adapters, the teams that get that, like the Warriors and the Patriots, that Kansas City, that get the analytics and don't get stubborn, win more. Cubs won it on analytics. Red Sox won titles. They were early adapters. Now they're rebuilding, but for years. Yankees, after watching the Red Sox, they were not into analytics, then poured in 2018, made the biggest analytic department in Major League Baseball. San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan, very much into data. Yesterday on Earl Thomas, he said, not interested. No pause, no hesitation, no filter. No, we're not. wasn't interested. Jerry Jones denied they were not interested because Jerry wanted to make it known that it was his call and these reports out there. Jerry, keep the story alive. Jerry created distraction in a year with a new coach and no preseason when distractions could be mushroomed into much bigger issues. Jerry is not quite into the data thing, and it's very funny. Maybe it's a Dallas thing. I read a story this morning. They call them $30,000 millionaires. Dallas is a city that kind of flaunts what it owns and flaunts. That's kind of the reputation. It was a very interesting story. It's called Home Sweet Home of the $30,000 Millionaire. And the mayor of Dallas was acknowledging, he said, we're both rich and we're poor. We flaunt what we have. That's fine. But what's funny is sports is getting smarter and it's more data and it's less vanity and it's more analytics and it's less ego and it's more about what the numbers say, not what your owner thinks. And I watched this story with Earl Thomas, and San Francisco just squelched it. San Francisco's really good, Super Bowl bubble. Earl Thomas came out. They could probably use his safety. Didn't give it a – just get it out. No. Dallas, let's talk about it. And I really do think – this is why I've kind of sold my stock on the Dallas Cowboys, is that the first round of the draft, Dallas did not need a wide receiver. What did they do? Had multiple needs on their team. Let's get a flashy wide receiver. It's about brand. It's about excitement. It's not about data. Data didn't tell you that was the best decision to make. They already had Michael Gallup. They had Randall Cobb. They had, at the time, they have Amari Cooper. They got a great O-line. They got offense wasn't their issue. They can't stop anybody. And their secondary lost multiple players. And their defensive line has one really highly paid player that kind of gets sacks, but not really. And they cross their fingers on Van Der Esch and Jalen Smith's health. But what, increasingly, when I watch, and this is funny about this, and I've seen this for a long time in sports, we always fear the big markets and the big brands because we think as sports fans, it's unfair. New York's got all the advantages. The advantage to being the Colts and the Green Bay Packers and the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Kansas City Chiefs and the New Orleans Saints and the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens and not being in these rich markets and these massive cities – the advantage to it is every employee knows you've got to save your pennies. You got to work a little harder. Look in sports right now in America. The New York Giants, the New York Jets, the New York Knicks, the New York Mets, a mess. Chicago's got a couple things going on, but, you know, Bears, we keep waiting. Bulls, Washington, seventh biggest city in the country. The Washington football team's a mess. I mean, the Wizards are a mess. Dallas, the Lakers, and the Yankees are the three biggest brands in American sports. Dallas and the Lakers, late to analytics. More about ego and vanity. Where are the titles? Where are they? In fact, the last great title Dallas had was Mark Cuban, an analytic guy, and not flashy and showy, a billionaire that wears T-shirts and cheap tennis shoes to games. Mark Cuban is the opposite of Jerry. He's like T-shirts, lets his players be stars, low-key, very much into analytics, all into analytics. That's the last title in Dallas. And I think what's happening in sports, and by the way, the Yankees, for years and years, a lot of vanity, playing a hunch, overspending, and then they watch the rival Red Sox start picking up titles without their budget, didn't have close to the Yankee budget, and they were doing analytics. And then the Yankees in 2018 said, okay, enough of this, and poured their money back into it. That's why when you can get the combination of big market and analytics like the Dodgers, you have seven division titles in a row. Now, the Dodgers haven't won a World Series, but they have passed on so many big contracts until Mookie Betts. They passed on a lot. So when you can get the big glamorous market, the Boston Red Sox, a big market, and they're into analytics. Chicago Cubs, into analytics. Boston Patriots, into analytics. San Francisco is the fourth biggest, you know, market in the country. San Francisco Bay Area, very much into analytics. That's when it's great. When the big market that's got the advantages of free agents and money and power and prestige, they go into it. But it's amazing how often the big flashy brands are late to it. The Lakers were late to it. Dallas is late to it. Dallas is still playing too many vanity games and ego games. The Yankees were late to it initially. So Kyle Shanahan just squashed Earl Thomas. Dallas is, you know, elevating that story. I mean, that's the difference to me. That's the difference in organizations. It's the offseason. It's the nonsense. It's the daily radio shows for owners. Lord, hour two next.